Yeah, we talked about Minecraft, man. Got in here. We're out of church for a little bit. We started talking about Minecraft and building up our mind. And you know what we're going to do today?
Minecraft.
Do about it some more. That's right. Today we're going to be wrapping up that series. Good water after you're drinking and eating that good breakfast. How many of y'all had breakfast this morning?
Woo-hoo!
How many of y'all had breakfast out here in the foyer this morning?
Woo-hoo!
You're missing out if you didn't, because it's good stuff, man. Some good stuff out there. I typically don't eat breakfast in the morning on Sundays, but I did today because my wife made a plate. And when your wife makes a plate, you know what you do, man?
Eat it.
You eat it. I asked her to, though, so it was okay. But today we're going to finish the series called Minecraft. And it's a good series. Remember, it was a series that we designed so that we can learn to build up our mind to overcome the strongholds that try to keep us from being everything that God wants us to be and experiencing everything that God wants us to experience. And see, we have strongholds that try to keep us back from experiencing those things. And so this series was designed to teach us to build up in our mind how to overcome those strongholds. Why in our mind? We said last week, because your mind is the most effective battleground that the enemy has against you. Because why? It's the only place on the entire planet Earth, in the entire universe, that nobody else can see, sense, feel, touch, experience. It's just you and whomever or whatever you allow to come in there. Amen? So last week we talked about how important it is to build up your mind to fight the battles and overcome the strongholds that we ourselves a lot of times allow into our life that hold us back from experiencing everything God has for us. Amen? And so it's time those strongholds got broken. Amen?
Yeah.
And so last week we talked about it. We said the foundational thing, the very first thing we have to do before we can build anything up in our mind is that we have to choose to do what? Who remembers? Three people remember. Choose to serve God. That's right. This side of the room was listening last week. I appreciate y'all. I'm not judging anybody else. I'm just looking over here because life is good. The first thing we have to do, guys, is we have to choose to follow God. You can't experience the things that God has for your health, peace, happiness, restoration, all those things, unless you first choose to follow God. And once you choose to follow God, then everything else starts happening in your life. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to choose to follow Him first, right?
Yeah.
So the foundational thing, the mind crafting, the mind building, to overcoming the things that are trying to hold you back, to overcoming those strongholds, is to make the choice that I will, for me and my house, we talked about last week, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Give God a round of applause this morning. Don't patty cake with Him, man. If you're going to serve Him, if you're going to worship Him. Clap for Him, man. Praise Him. Amen. Why? Because God is God. Amen. Amen. Listen, but I want to tell you today, as we wrap up this series, something very serious I want to talk to you about. Because even if you make the choice to serve God, like many of you did last week, here's the deal. There's a stronghold called fear that oftentimes keeps us as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, from doing what God has called us and asked us to do. There is a stronghold in our life called fear that keeps us from acting on the choice that we made. Amen?
Amen.
I hear everybody say amen, so let me talk to you like this. Let me talk to you like this. Listen, you can choose to go bungee jumping. You can go to the bridge. You can stand on the edge of the bridge. You can put the harness on. You can laugh and cheer. You can talk to everybody around you. God, I'm doing this. But it's a whole other thing to take that step. You can choose to go skydiving. You can put the pack on. You can take the video. You get the GoPro on your helmet, the whole nine. You get on that plane, man. That door opens. You're 10,000 feet. It's a whole other thing to leap. I want you to understand. Last week, many of you in here made the decision on the decision card, on the red card, that you choose this day to serve God. You made a choice last week, and let me tell you, that is awesome. That is awesome. That is cool. But today, I want to talk to you about fear, because fear is the one thing, it's the one stronghold that will keep you from taking steps to putting in action that decision that you make. Amen? And so today, we're going to talk about fear, and actually, I'm telling you a little bit of a lie. We're not going to talk about fear because fear is the stronghold. Today, what we're going to talk about is the fear crusher. Come on, the fear crusher, amen? Come on. You know you could crush fear, amen? Isn't that a cool title? I worked on that title for a while, man. Y'all like it? Fear crusher. It's manly. It's, you know, it's macho. Fear crusher. you can crush your fear. We're going to talk about today. Here's the deal, man. I want you to understand this morning as we get started that your fear only has the power in your life that you allow it to have. That side of the room, man, they're on it. It only has the power in your life that you allow it to have. God never intended you to live a life controlled by fear.
Amen.
I did not say God never intended you to have a life that did not have fear in it. That's not what I said. That's not even what's in the Word of God. God never intended you to have a life that was controlled by fear. There's a big difference between that. God never intended you to be controlled by fear. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 says it like this. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. He's talking about Paul. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of who? God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose. We talked about it a minute ago. And grace, we talked about it last week, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. And here's the cool thing. Before time ever began. You see, we forget those little tags at the end of the Bible, right? It was in those verses. You've always had that from the beginning of time. Fear has never had a hold on you. Fear has never been part of what's supposed to control your life. Ever, from the beginning of time, it's always been Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always been about your relationship with God. It's always about you choosing to serve him and walking out that choice every single day. Fear was never supposed to be in control of your life. You see, here Paul's trying to teach Timothy, and he's trying to teach us this morning the same thing, man, that fear is a very real thing that we deal with. Fear is a very real thing that we deal with, but it was never, ever, ever supposed to be in the driver's seat of your life. Here's the truth, guys. We all have visible fears. All of us do. How many of you guys are scared of spiders? Okay, listen, dudes. I saw every woman raise her hand, but I know y'all lying. Come on, guys. How many guys are scared of spiders? Don't lie. Yep. There you go. I see one in the back. Thanks for your honesty, sir. You're going to heaven. Snakes. Who says somebody says snakes? Yeah. Your fear of visible things like, storms. Some of us, we just had one. Storms. How about being afraid of the dark? Anybody afraid of the dark? A couple of y'all? Yeah. Yeah. My son is. I'm just joking. He's not here, son. See, these are visible fears, man, that we have, and they affect our life, but that's not really what I'm talking about today. What I'm really wanting to talk to you about are the hidden fears. You see, we have fears in our life like the fear of failure. And the fear of failure, it keeps you from doing anything unless it's 100% guaranteed that it's going to be successful. Otherwise, the fear of failure keeps us from doing the thing that we know we're supposed to be doing. The fear of failure, fear of inadequacy. Yeah, fear of inadequacy keeps you from doing anything that might draw any kind of criticism to your life. And so because of this hidden fear of inadequacy, you don't do the things that you're supposed to do, that you know God is calling you to do. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
You got hidden fears like, I don't know, humiliation, hurt, abandonment. Now, this could go on, can't it?
Yeah.
And so we have all these hidden fears, man, that control our life, man. And they have a tendency to paralyze us, to keep us from taking action on the choices that we have in our life. Amen?
Yeah.
And guys, here's the deal, man. When it paralyzes you from taking action from what God has called you to do and the things he's wanting you to get involved with, man, when your hidden fear, when you allow it to be in the driver's seat and it paralyzes you from taking action, man, it robs you of the blessing, man, of the assuredness that God wants to have in your life, that he will do the things he's called you to do. He will see you through those things. He will fulfill the promises that you see in his word. He will do what he said he would do. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never not do what his word says he will do. Amen. But fear holds you back. Fear paralyzes you from taking those steps forward when God says move. It paralyzes you. It keeps you standing still when he says move. You understand what I'm trying to say? And here's what I want to tell you this morning, man. I'm telling you this morning that I want you to know that it's time today. It's time as we end this Minecraft series, man. You take this stuff you learned this month and start putting it in action for the rest of your life. Today, it's time for you to understand that you can crush those fears in your life that are trying to hold you back. And I'm going to tell you how to do it this morning. Are you ready? Here's the secret. Here's how you do it. You got to get hungry.
Amen.
You got to get hungry.
Yes.
Some of y'all are looking at me like, what does my belly have to do with breaking fear? Everything. You got to get hungry. Tell a little story about my son William to help you understand how hunger helps you overcome your fear. See, he loves to zip line. How many of y'all ever been ziplining? All right, listen. So I'm gonna need y'all to back me up, the ones who raise y'all's hand. My son, I took him ziplining. We went ziplining. He was like 12 years old. The first time we ever went ziplining, man. And we get there and we go through the little training exercise that they do, and everything's great. We get our harnesses on and everything. We climb up on that first tower. It's about 80 feet high. And he's up there and we're standing there, and it's a guy that we don't know. It's my son, and then it's me. And the guy in front of my son, he takes off, man. Zoop, there he goes. And then it's my son's turn. Now, on the ground, zipping through that little 4-foot line, he was having a blast. It was great. We're up 80 feet high in the air. He turns around, he looks at me, and he says, "Dad, don't make me do this." And I looked at him, man, because I love God.
Amen.
I love my son.
Yeah.
I looked at him, and I mustered every bit of compassion that I could possibly get together in my heart. And I looked at him, man, and everybody's watching, and I'm staring there and looking at my son, and I said, "Son, I already paid for this." The only way off this tower, buddy, is in that direction. So let's get it going. About 30 minutes later, talking to him, convincing him, he finally lifted his legs and boom, he was gone. And I was so proud of him, man, because he overcame his fear. And he zipped to the other line. So I get on there and I zip over. I catch him at the next platform. Now at the next platform, he's over there and he's so excited now because he did it. And he loved it so much, man. He leaps, man. And the guy at the platform grabs him and pulls him back by his harness. He says, "Buddy, wait, I didn't put the safety line on yet." You see, now he was so excited to go. He wouldn't even wait. He was just going to jump and go, right? And so we went through the whole course and we get to the very end. At the very end, we're about, I don't know, 100 or so, maybe 120 or so. I don't want to lie to y'all, but it's pretty up there. And it's a 1,200-foot run all the way down to the last platform at the bottom. It's two lines that go in tandem. And you can race each other down this line, right? And so I get to the last platform with him. He goes, "Dad, there's two lines here. Let's connect because I bet I can beat you to the bottom." Now he's so bold, he's trying to challenge me in a race in the thing he was so terrified to do a little bit ago. And he forgot about the thing called gravity. Because he's like 100 pounds and I wasn't. Amen. And so we step to the edge of that thing and we clip up there and I look at him. He's so excited and he's ready and he's going to beat his dad and he's all pumped up. And I looked over and I thought for a second, man, let me let this kid take off ahead of me so he could win. And then I said, "Nope. It's my responsibility as his father to teach that young man how to lose with the right attitude." Amen. And so we did that. And so we go on that zip line, and I go, "Okay, buddy, you ready?" He goes, "Yep." Boom, and he takes off. Man, that kid cheated. He cheated. He took off, man. And so so I got mad, I ain't gonna lie, and I did a little like this in my jump, and I zzz. Now, you guys been ziplining, it sounds like this when you're on the line. It's like zzz when you're running, you know? You hear the line zipping. So when I go, my line sounds like this. Zip, right? I'm going. And I go by him, and I look at him. Don't judge me. I'm zipping by, and you got your hand on a thing like this, and I'm going by, and I look at him like, I go all the way down, right? And so I get to the bottom, and I turn around, and I can hear his line, because he only weighs 100 pounds, and his line's going like this. So he gets to the bottom of the run. He's got his big grin on his face and everything. It was a great experience. And he loves ziplining, amen? But here's the deal, you see, he was so afraid at the beginning because his hunger for the ride wasn't enough to overcome his fear of the height. But during the course of the action, man, he developed such a hunger that he was no longer afraid of the height. What does hunger have to do with overcoming your fear? Church, it has everything to do with overcoming your fears. You have to develop a hunger that's stronger than your fears. Amen?
Amen?
Y'all hear what I'm trying to tell you this morning?
Amen.
It has everything to do with it. So this morning, help me out a little bit. I want you to look at least three people around you. Try to find somebody you don't know, and I will look at them. I want you to say, "Are you hungry this morning? Are you hungry this morning? Come on, challenge each other. Ask them the question, are you hungry this morning? Listen, I'm not talking about McCall's barbecue, y'all. Last week we were finished the church and I asked a few of y'all, I was like, hey, where's a good good place we can go eat, man? Kind of a buffet. I had all my kids and their friends with us and stuff, and some of y'all tried to send me to like McDonald's and Bojangles and all that. Y'all did me wrong. But we found McCall's, I'll let y'all know. And it was a pretty good place.
Yeah.
I'm not advertising for them. I'm just saying it's a good place, man. And we went there and ate. And it was funny because talking about overcoming fear and hunger, helping you overcome fear. My kids were in there and they're like, man, they got everything on the barbecue except macaroni and cheese. I look at them, I'm thinking, you got everything you can think of on that barbecue except for macaroni. You're going to get mad about that. But when the waitress came by, they were like, excuse me, ain't no macaroni and cheese on the barbecue. And so they went to the back and got some macaroni and cheese. So I'm just saying, man, you know, sometimes your hunger drives you to do things, man, and ask for things, right? The Bible says, get hungry, man. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, right? The Bible says, man, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you, right? And how do you get to those things, man? You become hungry. You're hungry, man. You want it. And it don't matter if it's a first world problem or not, being macaroni and cheese. Man, they wanted it. They were hungry for it. They asked for it. And it's the same way in the Word of God. Amen? Get hungry. Get hungry. It's time for you to stop keeping you from all the things that God has for your life. It's time to get hungry. Amen? Come on now. Look, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything like that, but understanding fear as an uncomfortable emotion that's produced by situations of uncertainty. I wonder how many of us in this room, if we were going to raise our hand, don't do it. I don't want you to do this, but just think of it to yourself. How many of you guys know that God asked you to do something in your life and you did not do it because you were more afraid of the outcome than you were to serve God?
Amen.
You were more afraid of the outcome than you were hungry to serve your Father. You were more afraid of the reputation you would lose. You were more afraid of the friends you might lose. You were more afraid of the whatever that ex is. You were more afraid of that changing than you were hungry to serve God. And so you didn't do it. No condemnation, man. I'm pointing at y'all. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. If I use my thumb, I got like every other finger pointing at me. I've been there too. But you can't lie to yourself about it. You can't fake like it's something that's not you're not dealing with because you don't want to think about it. You can't just close your eyes and act like it's not a stronghold in your life. That's how it stays there. You start shedding light on these things, man, all of a sudden you can deal with them, man. Put them on the table, man. Deal with them, man, and let's get past them. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to get hungry. It's time to break that stronghold called fear that keeps us from moving in the decisions that we've made. Amen. You see, William would never have experienced ziplining. He would never have experienced it because he was so scared of the height, man, more than he had a hunger to experience the ziplining time. And, you know, really the only reason he even experienced it had nothing to do with his hunger for the ziplining experience. It had everything to do with his relationship with his daddy. His daddy was standing there and his daddy said, buddy, it's okay. Take the leap. You're going to enjoy it. Trust me. It's safe. Go. Trust me. But at the end of the day, that young man had to lift his feet and had to go.
Amen.
And I want you to understand, it had nothing at all to do. When he lifted his feet, he was still equally as terrified of the heights as he was when his feet were standing on that platform. What caused him to move had nothing to do with his hunger for the experience and everything to do with his trust in his daddy.
Yes.
Everything. Listen to me, church. You can't develop that hunger without a trust in your daddy. And I want you to understand this morning, if your daddy's telling you to jump, jump. Because there's something on the other side of that jump, man, that's going to bless your socks off. There's something on the other side of that jump that you don't even know is going to be the thing you were missing in your life, man. The thing that you're looking for. The thing that's going to fulfill you. The thing that's going to make you look and say, I don't even care about all this stuff I used to care about. Man, I'm so glad God put me through this situation. Because now on this side of it, man, woo! I can't believe I never was doing this before, right? And then that hunger for that thing is going to dwell up inside you. Two reasons. One, because that thing excites you. And the second reason, because your daddy brought you through it. And now your trust and your faith in your father is even more than what it was before, man. You see what I'm saying? And then guess what? I don't want to give you no bad news. But I got to be honest with you this morning. Guess what? He'll let you enjoy that for a minute, but he'll take you to another decision point. And guess what you're going to have to do again? You're going to have to jump. guys are getting me excited up here, man. You see, faith really isn't leaping off a cliff blindly. That's really not what it is. This is faith right here. That's it. It's not leaping off some big thing. God takes you step at a time, step at a time. And then he proves himself, man, step at a time, step at a time. But you got to take them, man. You got to take those steps. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. You got to get hungry. I don't want y'all to get me wrong this morning. I want you to understand, listen, it's not wrong to deal with fear. I hear people say sometimes, man, fear is an indication that you don't have faith in a certain area in your relationship with Jesus Christ. They say, oh, if you have fear in your life, well, that means that you don't have faith in God for this thing. Have y'all heard that, or is it just me? I've heard people say that, and I want you to understand that there is a little bit of truth to that. There is. But it leads to a false theology that you're not allowed to experience fear. And I want you to understand that is simply not true. If you're in here this morning and you're dealing with fear, I want you to know that you can deal with fear and still trust God. That is okay. That does not mean that you're any less of a Christian. That doesn't mean that God loves you any less, or he's somehow disappointed in you, or he's looking at you going, you're not worth it. I'm not going to be around. None of that's true, man. You will, matter of fact, experience fear as your servant, Jesus Christ. That's a guarantee. What would faith be without it? So I hope I'm setting some of you guys free this morning, man. Don't get it wrong. You can have fear in your life and still trust God. Many people do it. Don't get it twisted. A lot of y'all in here are dealing with fear in the area of your finances. Maybe you're dealing with it in the area of your health. Maybe you're dealing with it in areas like your relationships. Maybe you're dealing with it in areas like your reputation. Maybe you're dealing with it in areas with your career, your job, or I don't know. Maybe some of you guys are dealing with an area of your looks. Maybe you don't have self-confidence in how you look and how you walk and how you dress and how your parents are and your house you live in and all this worldly stuff. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it doesn't matter. It does matter. And it matters to your Heavenly Father as well. So you can just scratch that if that's what you're thinking, that somehow you're not allowed to experience or express fear. That's not the way it is. That's not even how God created us to be. Listen, fear is a very real emotion.
Yes, it is.
It's a very real response to very real situations. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, God designed us with the emotion of fear. It's in us. He put it in us. That's what the Bible says, man. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139:14. Uh-huh. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with what?
Fear.
Fear and trembling. Philippians. Chapter 2. The Bible says what? The beginning of wisdom is the what? Fear of the Lord. Church, you're designed to react to various situations with various emotions, and one of those emotions is fear. Here's the problem. So many people let fear keep them from executing God's will, purpose, and plan for their life. And when that happens, fear is in the driver's seat, and that is what fear is not supposed to do. Fear causes you to be paralyzed. I got a little experiment I want to do, and I need somebody to help me. I need somebody that's got muscles, man. Somebody that's like a little bit stronger than me. Whoever wants to do it, I'm looking, because I will pick somebody out of the crowd. Typically, you want to do it? Go, come up here, man. Help me out. I'll give a round of applause. But I need you to grab this 2-liter bottle for me right down here. All right, Faith. What's your name?
Jalen.
Y'all know Jalen?
Yeah.
Good, Jalen. Some dap, man. Jalen, thanks, Jalen. Jalen, I'm going to start talking here in a minute. When I say it, I just want you to shake this bottle of Pepsi as much as you can. All right? Shake it. I mean, shake it. Not ready? What did I tell you? Fear paralyzes us and keeps us from doing what God's called us to do. And here's what I want you to think about. This bottle of Pepsi right here is you. It's you. And when God begins to stir your life, man, he begins to shake you up, man, to pour things in you and get you ready and pour his anointing in you, man, for a purpose. And Jen, shake that bottle for me. Just start shaking it. I mean, shake it. Shake it, shake it, shake it. Don't break it. He's doing it right now. He's shaking. Keep shaking, man. Just keep shaking while I'm talking. God, he stirs you up, man, and he gets you going, man. And the content's inside of you, man. You're just stirred up. You're so excited. You're passionate, man. You're ready to do something, man. And you feel all this pressure inside of you, man, just building up. And you feel like you're getting ready to pop like that bottle's getting ready to do right now with my man standing here shaking it. And you just feel so... You're like, I can't wait. I'm like at a horse at the beginning of a race, man. I'm just ready to go. And all you need, man, all you need, thanks, buddy. All you need is here. You put that inside that glass bowl for me. All you need to do, man, is just open the top. Don't do it. All you need to do is open the top. See, if you open that top, all the content comes out of here. And it goes everywhere. If he opened that top before I stopped him, it would have probably shot to the back and hit William in the face back there, man. But because it's uncontrollable. You see, when God pours inside you all this stuff and you're so shook up and you're so ready, you're so passionate to do something, man, all you got to do is open your mouth. All you got to do is take the step. Just take the lid off and everything goes everywhere.
Yes. Right.
Not yet. He's excited to open it. See? He's excited, man, right? But when he got ready to open it, did you see what happened? I said, what? I said, no. And you guys were like, whoa, wait. Everybody said, wait. It's just like when God's pouring in you, man, and he's ready to do something. All of a sudden, fear says, wait. Wait. Don't do that. If you do that, it's gonna get all over you, man. You're going to mess up something. You're going to get in trouble, man. Somebody's going to say, don't do it. Hold the bottom of the bottle. And so here's what happens, man. You start to listen to this. Sudden, they hear something going on in your life, man. People are like, and so you start to open up, man, and people hear you. They hear that something's happening in your life. They hear God moving in your life, and they hear it, and they go, oh, there's a fizz happening, there's something going. And then fear says, wait, and people are like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what happens. And fear says, wait, and all of a sudden you're stuck, you're paralyzed, half open and half closed. And all that was in you, all that passion, all that excitement, all that anointing that God was ready to spew through your life, man, all of a sudden, you let go. It's flat. It's flat. Thank you. Give Jalen a round of applause. You see, church, listen to me. That's what fear does to you. That's what fear does to you. Keeps you standing when God says move. It keeps you asking what if instead of God will. Come on, church. It keeps you from focusing on the assurances that God will fulfill everything he said he would do through your life. Listen, a hunger for God to operate in and through your life. A hunger for God to operate in and through your life. Uh-huh. It is your fear crusher.
Yeah.
It is your fear crusher.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Because hunger drives action.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, look at any baby that's hungry for the milk from its mama.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunger the baby has drives action for the baby. And then that hunger that the baby has drives action in the mama. And all of a sudden, the entire atmosphere around that baby changes. Why? Because it's hungry. And it don't care how loud it has to be. And it don't care how long it has to cry. And it don't care who's going to hear it, where they're at, what situation you're in. If you're in church, a funeral, at the mall, it don't matter if you're in church. When that baby's hungry, it's going to cry. And the atmosphere is going to change until that hunger is fed, man. You understand what I'm trying to say? God has given you a hunger for something, man. He's put something inside of you to do. And that hunger should not be quenched, man. It should not be satisfied until it's fed. You understand what I'm trying to say? And God has given you opportunity for that hunger to be fed. But fear wants to paralyze you and stop you, man, half open and half closed.
Yeah.
Just long enough for you to fizzle out.
Because
everybody's watching and everybody's hearing. Everybody's like, ooh, there it is. I hear it. It's getting ready to go. That would have been so cool if you had done that. You know how many people's lives you could have changed? Oh, what if? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. Proverbs 16:26, a worker's appetite works for him because his hunger urges him on. How hungry are you this morning?
Yes.
How hungry are you for the will of God to actually move through your life like he said he would, like you know you heard him say in your life, like you did when you first accepted Jesus Christ in your life? How hungry are you today compared to when you were first reconciled with your Father? How hungry are you? You know, we're going to close. I'm going to bring this to a close because I think my time is coming up, and I don't want y'all's seats to outlast your hearing potential. But I want to bring this to a close, and I want you to hear me. Listen, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. While you go there, let me set the background up. There's a town, there's a city called Samaria. It's under siege by an Armenian army, and it's been that way for a long time. And they can't find any food. There's a severe famine in the land, and everybody's fearful for their life because if they don't find food, they're going to die. And if they have any kind of food, their neighbor will kill them for it. And if they go into the forest to try to forage for food, the Armenian army will kill them. There's a very real fear in that city that they're going to die. And that fear is so strong that the king of the city himself says, this must be a curse from God. And so he sends his men out and he says, I want you to go and I want you to find Elijah, the man of God for the day. And I want you to cut his head off and bring it to me. You see, his fear caused him to do actions that were going to cut him off from the very source of his provision. You see, fear causes us to do silly things and to cut ourselves off from the ability of God to be able to give us what we need and do what he wants to do through our life. You see, fear causes us to do things like cut off the very provision, the very source that he has for us. And so he sent his men to see Elijah, man. They get to Elijah. Now Elijah knew what they were coming to do. So he puts himself inside of his house and barricades them in. And when the men get there, man, they're there to take his life. Now he doesn't leave. How many of you guys, if you knew somebody was coming to take your life, how many of you guys would leave? If you don't have your hand up, I'm going to get some psychiatric help for you because you should be wanting to leave. But he doesn't leave, man. He stays. Why does he stay? He stays because God told him to give a word to the king.
Amen.
And he knew those men were coming, and that was his way to fulfill what God wanted to do through his life. But he was still afraid. You see, you can have fear and still trust God.
Amen.
And so the men show up. And Elijah begins to talk to him, man. And that's where we're going to pick it up, man. In verse 1 it says, Elijah replied, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow at the gate of Samaria, 6 quarts of fine meal will sell for a shekel. 12 quarts of barley will sell for a shekel. Now remember, the city was under siege. There was no food to be had. And there was nothing there. No way for them to get food. The army had them surrounded. And so here's Elijah. He looks at the men that are coming to kill him. And he says, wait, here's the message for the king from God. By tomorrow, less than 24 hours from now, there's going to be more food than you know what to do with. And you're basically going to be giving it away for nothing. And here's what the captain says to him. This is the right-hand man of the king, the one who's come to take his life. He says, look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen? And so Elijah looks at him. He says, in fact, you're going to see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it.
Okay.
He looked at the man that was coming to kill him with the army behind him. And he said, you know what? Matter of fact, you're going to see it, but you're going to be dead by tomorrow. You see, God was already at work.
Yes.
Even while I don't see it, he's working.
Yes.
Right? Come on, he's a way maker, ain't he? We just thought about it this morning. Even if I don't see it, he's working. You see, the only difference between Elijah and the man that came to take his life was the faith Elijah had in his father to work it out. If he said it was going to happen, man, it was going to happen. I don't have to know how. I don't have to know why. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's God. And I know if he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I dare you to tell me it won't happen. Because guess what, man? Because you don't believe it. Guess what? Tomorrow you're going to see it, but you're not going to ever experience it. You're not going to ever enjoy it. You're not going to receive the blessing that he's bringing. Why? Because you doubt my heavenly father. My God is able. My God is able, amen. Even if you don't see it, he's working. He's working. He's working in your life right now. Neither one of those men knew what was going on. Neither one of them knew what was happening. One of them knew that if God said it, it's going to happen. And the other one had no way of believing it. He only could see his surroundings. But he didn't understand the power of God. But we get to live 2,000 years later, so we get to see what was happening. You see, let's keep reading, man. Here we are in verse 3. It says, but at the same time, four men with a skin disease were at the entrance of the gate. While this is going on, God's working this whole thing out. It's so cool. So then they said to each other, hey, why are we just sitting here getting ready to die? Why are we just going to sit here and wait to die? I'll tell you what we're going to do, man. These guys, they're just like, we're going to the city. If we go into the city, we're going to die because they'll kill us. If we go into the woods, man, we're going to die because there's no food there. I'll tell you what we're doing. We're so hungry right now. What we're going to do is we're going to step right into the enemy's camp. We're going to go face the enemy, man. My hunger, their hunger drove them so far, man. They said, I don't even care what the enemy's going to do to me. I'm going to step right in front of the enemy's camp and go, here I am. If you kill me, you kill me. But if you don't kill me, then I'm going to at least live. And I'm going to go see the enemy. I don't care what they're going to do to me. I'm not even worried about the outcome. My hunger is driving me to action, baby. And I'm going to go see what happens. Come on. Let's go see. Let's go see. And so here they go, man. They go walking right in the Armenian camp. But guess what they noticed, man? Oh, my gosh. Guess what? Oh, are you surprised? God worked it out already, man. That whole enemy camp was already gone. They was already defeated. They was already beaten. They already took off and went home. They already recognized they couldn't overcome the power of God in that place. Amen. And let me tell you what, baby. They walked in there and everything the enemy stole from them was sitting right there waiting for them just to take. Oh, my gosh. Come on. You ain't getting excited about that? Everything the enemy took from them. Guess where it was? Right there. Right there waiting for them, baby. And so here's what they did. They walked to that camp. They said, oh, look, all this stuff's right here for us. Let's go tell the people of Samaria what's going on. Man, they went back and told them. And the people came and took all that stuff right back to the streets. And guess what? Exactly what God said is what happened the next day. I don't know why you ain't clapping. Everything the enemy stole was returned to them and some. And guess what was over, man? Their fear. Guess why? Because of the hunger. And guess what God did? He proved his word. And guess what happened to that man that came and didn't doubt God? They were so excited about the blessed man that the people trampled over the man that was against what God said he would do, and the man died. He saw the blessed man, but he couldn't hold it back, man, and he ended up losing his life over it. Amen? My suggestion for you, get hungry. Get hungry. Get hungry. Get hungry. Listen, sometimes the very situation that you're afraid of is a situation that God sent to cause you to get hungry. It's the very situation you put in your life to drive you to action, to drive you to your destiny. You see, we go, God is good, but this situation doesn't seem good to me. No, 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 no. God is God. God is God. See, Elijah was standing there watching as the entire army of the city that he helped them have victory just a few chapters earlier. Now they were trying to come take his life because the situation changed. You see, the world, the situation is going to change in the world all the time. It's always going to change. What stays constant, man, is your Heavenly Father and his ability to provide for you, to protect you, to see you through the things that he knows is coming. Nothing is a surprise to him. A hurricane wasn't a surprise to him. Matthew wasn't a surprise to him. What it did is it joined these two churches together. Now look what we're doing together. Amen? Amen? Listen, man, we can't look at this and that and say good or bad. God is good only. God is God. He's in control. He knows what's coming on, and he's got a plan for your life. I know that some of y'all in here today. I know some of y'all in here today, and I'm bringing this to a close right now. I know some of y'all in here today have had visions and dreams. You know that God has called you to do things. But you were like this bottle of Coke, man. You were so shook up. But you didn't do it, man. You fizzled out. Tell you this morning, you need to develop a hunger. You need to develop a hunger, because let me show you something. All you have to do is return to your first love. You return to your first love. And this morning, when I drop this in here and you see what happens, if you have had fear that has stopped you from doing something in your life, I'm telling you this morning, you return to your first love. You come up here to this altar, man. Let us pray with you, man. And Christ will come right back into your life, right back to the center of the thing he told you to do the first time. And let me tell you guys what happens, man. when you bring God right back to the center, baby, it's like nothing ever changed, baby. He brings it right back like nothing ever stopped. Like it's just like it was when he first told you about it, man. It don't matter how flat you think your life is. It don't matter if you think that it's too late, that it's too far gone, baby. You put Jesus back in the middle of it. Guess what? Guess what, man? That same anointing rises right back up inside of you, man. And you go right back to doing what he called you to do from the very beginning, man. See, he ain't choosing somebody else. He called you to do it. He called you to do it, and he called you to do it. And until you're ready to put him back in the middle, it ain't going to get done. He's called you to do it. It is your task. It is your purpose. It is the reason he's put you here. And this morning, if you need Jesus back in the middle of your life, I want you to step out of your seat and come up here, man. Let me pray with you. Let the prayer team pray with you this morning. Come on. Now is the decision point in your life. Amen. Amen and amen. Come on. We're going to do the red cards, and we're going to do everything we normally do. But God told me today that we're going to do this first. And those of you that know you need Christ back in your life, man, today is the day. Right now is your decision. Come on. Give God a round of applause if you're going to do it. Prayer team, I need y'all to help me. Come up here and help me with that, please. Come on. If you're part of that prayer team, come on up here and help me with this. Thank you. I praise you, Father. I'm going to give y'all just a few more minutes for people to respond. This is a very, very real moment for you. God has called you to do a very real thing. The enemy's telling you that it's too late. The enemy's telling you that it's too late. Then he's telling you you can never be what he's told you. That your dream that he put in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, that it's too late. I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. I'm telling you that God still wants to do that thing in and through your life. I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday and tomorrow. He never changes, man. His plans for you don't change, man. The timing might have changed because you paused it, because you were paralyzed because of fear. Today, fear is broken in your life in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, fear has no hold on you no more. Amen. Amen, amen. If you're sitting in your seat, if you guys want to indulge, don't leave, man. This is a very serious moment. If you're in your seat, you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I need you to reach your hands out here this morning toward this altar, because there's some very real work happening up here. And we're going to pray for them real fast. I'm going to go through here, and then we're going to do our red cards and all that. But this is serious business this morning. So just reach your hand out and just begin to pray for them. Amen.